Amen. Man, let's pray. Then we're going to go ahead and release our children and get right into the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now for your goodness, Lord, your grace over our lives, God, that you allowed us to even make it here this morning. Father, we take nothing for granted, but we give you the glory, Lord Jesus. And we ask you right now to prepare our hearts and our minds to hear, Lord, and our spirit, man, to receive your word, God. Lord, as you speak unto us, Lord, move every distraction, every hindrance, Lord, every device of the adversary out of the way, God, that we may be able to receive all that you have for us. Speak to those hidden places, those secret places, God. Break up fallow ground, Lord, that good seed might be planted, Lord, that it bring fruit in our life, fruit that will remain, Lord God, for your glory. We thank you, Lord, for each and everyone here, those online, God, Lord, that you would just speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Go ahead and release our children. Amen. Thank God for another day. All right. It's been a full week. You know, just constantly, you know, staying busy. Just no, not just busy, productive. You know, you can be busy and not productive, right? But I like to be productive. Amen. Look back and see what has been done, what has been accomplished. Amen. As we gather, amen, this morning, amen, and just thank the Lord, yet giving God praise, hallelujah, for all that he's done and he's yet doing. Just tell somebody he's still working on me. Yeah, and I'm glad he's still, if he's still working on you, that means he ain't gave up on you, right? Hallelujah. He ain't cast us aside, amen. So I thank the Lord. I know some places in the world where he said, you told him at one point, don't even pray for him no more. I'm like, okay, I want God to say, y'all keep praying for me, okay? Keep me in the word, amen. But I just want to say greetings in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, that's a powerful name, yeah. Amen. And, you know, something that we need to continue to grab hold of. But this morning, I want us to, we're going to take some time to explore our relationship with God in his operation as the Holy Spirit.
All right, okay.
Amen, the Holy Spirit. And just thinking about that, because, you know, in truth, I believe there's a large segment of the body of Christ, amen, that's not really familiar with the function, the operation, or even the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I'm talking about in the church today. Man, and see, then that's a problem. Because if we don't get that, we're missing out on a whole lot. Amen. So we want to make sure that we can get that and it can be corrected, amen, in our walk and with the help of God, we can help others, amen. So we look at this, you know, because there's those that even resist the teaching of certain, you know, gifts and functions and operations of the Holy Spirit, amen. And so I think it's necessary that we revisit this area every now and then just so that we can remind ourselves, amen, of, you know, the fact that we have access to his presence and his power. Amen. And I thank God for that. Lest we forget when the enemy's coming against us, what we got on board, who we have on board. Amen. And his power and his functions. Amen. You know, oftentimes I hear the phrase and it kind of rubs me every time I hear it. You know, in speaking of the Holy Spirit, you know, the third person of the Godhead. Amen. And I think, yes, you know, or maybe the third person or a member of the Holy Trinity. And I recognize, you know, the fatherhood, the sonship, and the operation of the Holy Spirit. All of those, I recognize those operations, but, you know, personally, those phrases, the third person, you know, it's a problem. You know, and honestly, and personally, I feel like it's misleading at best when we phrase him as the third person or the, you know, because automatically it makes you think about what? 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Right? And when we say the third person, then that means this must be, if he's the third person, there must be two other persons. Right, so that's what I mean by being misleading, you know, and because let me explain it to you like this. When you see me, who do you see? Most of you see the pastor. Right? When my children look at me, they see their father and the pastor. When my wife looks at me, she sees her husband, the father of her children, and the pastor. Right? But I'm still one person. Right? And see, I can say it this way. Amen. When I first came into the world, my first role was a baby boy, a son. A few years passed down the way, and I became, my next role was boyfriend, and then a husband, then a father, then a grandfather, then a great-grandfather. And that's just all in my personal life. I brother-in-law, you can just continue to add those roles, and you know, and that even I go into my professional life, amen. Then that's a whole nother list of titles and positions. You know, they say chief, senior chief, you know, all that, you know, all these titles and positions, but it's still talking about one person. You see, and how people see you or see me is directly based on the relationship or the role that I play in their lives. But in all of that, I'm never referred to in the second or the third person. I'm always still operating in the first person, whether it's at the church or, you know, in the community. It's always, you're always in the first person. So when I hear the third person, that, like I said, that's misleading, because you don't ever talk to your mom or dad and say, well, I'm talking to you in the third person. You know, she's the third person. And no, that's mom. That's that. And we recognize that, yes, there are multiple roles. And it's the same thing when it comes to God. And I really want us to see, amen, because I could go on and on with the roles and still be one person. Still different operations, you know, because how I operated in my military career was different from how I operate in ministry. It's different how I operated with the children, but still one person. So I really need to clear that up for us, amen. When we hear that phrase, don't let it mislead you or cause you to think there's three, because there's three operations, three manifestations we'll talk about, but there's only one God, right? And I want us to grab hold of that, because, you know, God is the Father, and he is the Son, and he is not just the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit, because God, the scripture tells us God is a spirit. So that would mean if God is holy and he's a spirit, what's that make it? The Holy Spirit. There's no confusion when we step back and look at it logically. You know, because I look at, you know, when we met God in Scripture, we first met God in the Old Testament. God is creator, right? Provider and ruler. Amen. He was the judge until, you know, they decided they wanted to have a king. You know, he had his, you know, we've seen him in creation in the Old Testament. Then we met Jesus in the New Testament, right? And when we met Jesus, he was what? He was the Savior. He was a miracle worker. You know, he operated in all those areas. And then, you know, and we met Jesus specifically in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then as we continue on reading through the Bible, we get into the epistles, and that's where we meet the Holy Spirit beginning to operate, amen, and move. But see, all through the Bible, we still talk about God, right? See, so we see him in the Old Testament as the creator, in the Gospels as the Savior, and in the epistles as the emanation or the power, the operation that come to be with us, not just around us, but as we're going to see in Scripture, in us. Amen. It's all operating in that same fashion, you know, and I thank God for that. And thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. A lot of people like to say Holy Ghost, right? But I thank God because, see, he's on board, and he's operating in us. Amen. And we need to see that God is a multifaceted God that we ought not, actually we cannot limit, amen, him to a finite roles, because these are the three main roles, but there's other places God shows up in Scripture.
Yeah.
Amen. But these are the three roles that we really look at, and we see, amen, that you can't limit an infinite God to finite roles. He's too big for that. He can be whatever he wants to be. He can do whatever he wants to do.
Yes.
Amen. He can show up however he wants to show up because he's God.
Yes.
He said he's in the wind. He's in the flood. Amen. He's wherever he wants to be because that's who he is. He created it. Amen. And, you know, let's look at what he said to Moses when he was sending Moses to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. And Moses had been on the backside of the desert for 40 years, amen, and the Lord showed up to him in a burning bush. He could be a burning bush. Amen. He spoke to him out the bush, amen, and he told him what he wanted him to do. But he shows up and he tells Moses exactly what to do, and Moses asked him a question. Well, who am I supposed to tell them sent me? And in Exodus 3:14, it says this, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Right? He said, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent you. I am. You what? I am whatever I want to be. Amen. Because I am. Now, I see, and he's the one that sent him, you know, and I look at that because God is not limited. Amen. And then see, they would have to understand who that I am is. And even when he was dealing with Jesus, you know, and let's go to John, the 8th chapter, and check out what Jesus was telling the religious rulers who were challenging him about his authority. And he was telling him before Abraham, look what he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and how hast thou seen Abraham? He said, you ain't even old enough to have seen Abraham. Abraham died long before you showed up, from what they understood. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, or surely, surely, truly, truly, pay attention. I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Uh-oh. So now, that response really bothered them. And we'll deal with that because they understood what he was saying. They understood completely what he was saying. You know, and we understand that Jesus, he knew how to communicate better than anybody I've ever seen.
Amen.
When you read the Bible and you see how well Jesus communicates, and he could say two words and shut the whole thing down. You know, I mean, he was a good communicator, so he knew how to get his point across and how many times he shut them down until they just couldn't take it anymore. We're going to kill him. We can't stop him, so we got to kill him. You know, so we look at this, amen. But did Jesus ever really declare himself to be God? You know, he often said, I do what my Father tells me to do. I can do nothing without my Father. You know, he said, but let's take a look in Revelation, the first chapter of Revelation real quick. I got a lot of ground to cover, so I'm moving a little fast. But in Revelation 1, verses 7 and 8, we see this, and I underline the words of Jesus as we get to those. He said, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Who did they pierce? All kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And then look what Jesus says. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, if he's Almighty, that don't leave nothing for no one else, right? If he's Almighty, he said, you know, and then when we look down a few verses, to verse 10 and 11, he said, I was in the Spirit. This is John writing. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, and again, here's Jesus speaking, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. Jesus is telling John, as he's writing this, what to do with the book of Revelations that he's giving him. He's in his own words. But again, he said what? Now, if he says, I'm the first and the last, that, again, don't leave room for nobody else. Right? He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. That's the Greek alphabet, the first one and the last one. It just cancels everything else out. Okay, and then finally in the 17th and 18th verse, he says these things. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he lay his right hand upon me and said unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now, that's the third time he said this in this chapter alone. He's making a clear point. I am the one, right? I am he that liveth and was dead. Now, if y'all got any questions, that's talking about Jesus. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. He's made it clear. I am God. Nobody can challenge me. I'm the first, I'm the last, I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. He's laying these things out. And we're going down this course for a reason, because we're still talking about what? The Holy Spirit, you know, and the title, I gave this message the title of Embracing the Holy Spirit. Uh-huh. Sometimes we don't embrace the Holy Spirit because we really don't understand the Holy Spirit. And it's hard to embrace something you don't understand. You sure enough not going to embrace too many people you don't know. Right? So we need to understand him. We need to get to know him. Amen. We need to draw close to him, so that we can be able to embrace who he is. Amen. So I want to take a close look at the progression, amen, that we see in the Old Testament, as I mentioned earlier, amen, that points us to Jesus. In Isaiah 7:14, he said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name, shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, this is the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied 740 years before Jesus was born. You know, and he said, now, a virgin is going to be with child, and he's going to bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. And then we jump all the way so he's pointing us to the New Testament. So where do we see the connection in the New Testament? We come to Matthew 1:23. It says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted is God with us. So the name Emmanuel means God with us, but they're calling his name Jesus because he's showing up in flesh, in his role as son. So it pointed us from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And now let's see if we can make a connection from the Gospels to the Epistles as Jesus is speaking, amen, because we find Jesus, he shows up in the Gospels, amen, and it talks about him, amen, at a point, but in there, Jesus points us to another, right? Let's look at John, the 20th chapter. Verse 19 to 22. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Now, this is speaking the first day of the week because he was crucified on Friday. We just went through Easter and the Resurrection Sunday and all that. So it's saying on the first day of the week, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now, they didn't kill Jesus. And Monday morning come around, they probably wonder who else they want to kill. They might be looking for the disciples now. So they closed up in the room. They closed up in the house, the doors being shut. Amen. And look what happens. Came Jesus, with the doors being shut, came Jesus and stood in the midst. In other words, he just appeared there. He just showed up in the room. He didn't even knock on the door. He didn't have to come through the door. Right? Okay, he's standing in the midst and said to them, "Peace be unto you." Why is he saying, "Peace be unto you"? Right? Right? You sitting in a room and somebody just show up? You might be a little nervous too. You know, so he says, peace be unto you. And he said, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Still had the piercings, still had where he was stabbed in the side by the soldier, amen, brought forth blood and water. So he's showing them his wounds. So they know this is he. Then were the disciples glad, and when they saw the Lord, they said, "Jesus," to them again. Say what? They got happy. One minute you scared. Next minute you happy. And he said, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send, so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, he's showing up, but he's still pointing them to the Holy Ghost. I say, I'm sending you, but I need you to receive. So what he's telling them, when the Holy Ghost comes, I want you to receive it. Yeah. Uh-huh. He's kind of, you know, give him a precursor of things to come. Yeah. So to receive him, even though he had died, him and rose again, they see him alive, and he spent 40 days with them before his ascension. His whole purpose here, you see at the end of each one of the Gospels, he told them to go to Jerusalem, amen, and wait until they be endowed or endued with the power of on high, speaking of the Holy Spirit. So he said, don't preach and don't teach no more. Just go to Jerusalem and wait. And that's why we find him in the upper room in the book of Acts. They're waiting. Wait. Amen. And then we see the Holy Ghost fell. Amen. But that's Jesus is pointing them in that direction. So you got to go here and you got to wait. You know, even before his death, he spoke unto them about the Holy Spirit, even before he died. And it's important that we see how he laid it out to them even then. This, as he got closer and closer to his time, you know, because remember how many times in Scripture, if you're familiar with it, Jesus spoke to, "My hour is not yet come." You know, even when his mother came to him for the first miracle, you know, she came to him and said, "What have I to do with you, woman?" How many people talk to their mama like that? Jesus did. He said, "What have I to do with you, woman? My hour is not yet." You know, but he went on and he did the first miracle and began his ministry. Amen. So we begin to see this. So he was letting them know that he was going to have to leave. But once he left, amen, there was something important that he needed to them to be prepared to receive. Amen. And I thank God for it. I mean, I think about, you know, so we see, you know, in from those scriptures, amen, that, you know, God was operating and manifesting himself in the person of Jesus, right? He was operating and manifesting as a Savior, you know, because we see one God, three operations or manifestations operating in the earth, and they each had their specific part in their role. Amen. But it was all still what? The same God. I want us to get that. I want us to hear that. Amen. Not three different people. Amen. Not operating, you know, and collaborating and all that kind of stuff, you know, but one God knowing what he's doing. Now look with me. Let's look a little closer, amen, at the book of John, where Jesus kind of just lays things out to them, amen. We're going to start in the seventh chapter of the book of John at verse 38 and 39. He said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Amen. He said, "He that believeth on me." Okay. And verse 39, "But this he spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive." Any got any believers in here? All right. Hello. So that's talking about us too. Not just those that were there with him. Amen. We should receive. "For the Holy Ghost was not yet given." I like the King James, you know, just not scared to say ghost. Amen. He said, "The Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified." See, God is a God of order.
Yes.
Amen. And he does things in order. And we got to recognize that. See, as long as Jesus was operating in the flesh, that was the focal point. That was the focus. But he's letting them know that, you know, and we'll see here in a minute, that this operation is going to cease. And we saw it cease on the cross. Amen. But after that, this new operation is going to come and take place. The salvation, the way, the road for us to be saved was finished on the cross. And when he came and rose again, he yet was letting them know there was more to come, right? That's why he told them to go to Jerusalem. But in John 10, 27 to 30, it says this, "My sheep hear my voice."
Yes.
And this is Jesus speaking. "And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Just look at somebody and say, "I'm going to be around for a long time." Right? I always get happy when I see that in that part there, because you know what? You know, to go from this mortality to immortality is going to be magnificent. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. But he said, "They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Now, they're in Jesus' hand, and they're in the Father's hand, and it's the same hand. Because look what he said, "I and my Father are one."
Hallelujah.
Now, he can't get no plainer than that, right? He said, "I and my Father are one." We still working on getting to the Holy Ghost, right? Amen. But this statement, now, like I said, these statements that he's making, he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees, the rulers, amen, and they were infuriated when he said this. You know, they was just too through, amen, because when you look at in the next verse, amen, it said, "Then the Jews took up stones again," nothing the first time, right, "to stone him. And Jesus answered them, 'Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?'" Say, what you stoning me for? Which one of the good things that I've done are you stoning me for? Now, notice their answer. The Jews answered him saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Because in their mind, you can't be God. When you say you're the Son of God, you make yourself God." You know, so they said, "No, we don't stone you for that. And because that thou, being a man, maketh thyself God." See, they understood exactly what he was saying. You know, it wasn't me and my Father are one. They knew he wasn't just saying, "Well, me and my Father are in agreement with what I'm doing.
Right, right.
We on one accord. We on the same page." They understood he was saying, "I am he." And for that, they wanted to kill him. And actually, they ultimately did, but they fulfilled his purpose and his plan in the whole process. You know, and then we get to the words where Jesus later on in John, he's talking to Timothy in the 14th chapter of John. And that's one of my favorite verses, getting into the book of John. He said, what? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." But let me move on. You know, but then we get here, amen. And in the fourth verse, he gets down here because he's telling them where I'm going, you know, and the way ye know. You know, he's telling them all things. And this is what he says here in verse number 4. He said, "And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas, remember Thomas was what? Y'all called him Doubting Thomas, but he wasn't the only one doubting, y'all. Amen. He wasn't the only one hiding. right? Thomas just woke up. Amen. But, you know, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, right? Now he gets deep with this statement. He said, if you had known me, you should have known the Father also. If you understood who I was, but since you didn't understand I was, I put the word should in there because you didn't get it. He said, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Say, what? You know him and you see, because you've seen him in the flesh. Amen, in his sonship operation. Amen, but that wasn't enough. You know, remember what I said? Thomas wasn't the only one doubting, because then look with Philip. Philip comes right behind him. Amen, in verse number 8. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Or in other words, show us the Father, and it will satisfy us. You know, he said, what? Didn't you just hear what I told Thomas? He said, show us the Father, it will satisfy us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He said, you're not getting it. You're not getting it if you see me. You're looking at the Father in his flesh manifestation, in his sonship. You see the Father, you know. But he said, "Thomas, you're just not getting this." So he had to make it plain to him. I'm sorry, Philip, as he was dealing with him. And then we go down to the 15th verse. I know I'm moving fast, but I want to get all this in, amen. Because I want us to understand. We got to understand him in order to embrace him. You got to understand how he operates and how all this fits together, so it makes sense, and we can help somebody else. Just to tell somebody next to you, help somebody else. You know, how Pastor Linda brought that beautiful word on last week. You know, when you've been strengthened, then, and when you've been strengthened, strengthen your brethren. See, so I'm trying to strengthen us in our understanding and our embracing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we look here at the 15th verse. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I pray the Father, now, these next few verses, you really got to pay attention, right? Because we're still in the book of John, and he's still revealing and setting them up for the Holy Spirit. But he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Wait a minute, what do you mean another comforter? Well, they were comfortable as long as Jesus was there. You know, as long as they could hang out with him and he would speak and he would get the Sanhedrin and the scribes and the Pharisees and all them under control, amen. They were comfortable as long as Jesus was noticed, because when they arrested Jesus, they got nervous. That's right. Because now Jesus wasn't in the midst. Now he'd been arrested. Now they ran. Peter, you know, denied him three times, even one time started cursing. I don't know him. You know, they got a little nervous because their comforter had been taken away from them. But he said, I'm praying to the Father, he'll give you another comforter, because, you know, this is post-resurrection. Okay, he said, he'll give you another comforter when that comforter is going to show up, that he may abide with you forever. Yeah. Wow. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. Remember, he just told him, if you see me, right? He said, ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Wow. Now, that right there. See, as long as they were with Jesus, they was good. But Jesus is about to be taken away. So he's telling them, it's going to be okay, because he's going to give you another comforter. And when he comes, he's going to be with you, but not just with you, he's going to be in you. How many are glad we got the Holy Ghost on board? Huh? See, as long as he was in the flesh form, he could only be in one place at one time. And there's only a limited number of people that could access him when he was operating in the flesh. So he said, this is good to get the word out, amen, and to go to the cross and be the sacrifice and shed my blood for the remission of sin. But this is not going to work as the word spreads, amen, abroad, because they need me to strengthen them, to build them, to comfort them. Amen. So now comes the operation of the Holy Spirit, so he can not just be in one place. He can be wherever you are. Amen. He can be with everybody all at once. That's how God operates. Amen. He's omnipresent, omnipotent. Amen. He can be anywhere and at any time with anybody. Amen. And give them whatever they need. Yeah. But see, if we don't recognize that, we don't tap into the power.
Right?
So we need to recognize that. He said, so he said, he shall be in you. In the 18th verse, he says this, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, you can't get no stronger. Now, one minute he said he's going to send you a comforter. Then he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless because I'm coming to you. Ooh, my. I don't know if that gets y'all excited like it gets me excited. Amen. When I'm thinking about the operation of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, the way he operates. Then we drop down to verse 26. We still in 14th chapter. He said, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, in case you had any question about who that comforter is. He said, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, wait a minute. He said he was going to send it. Now he said, whom the Father will send in my name shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, you got to follow him close because he's doing some switching up here, but he's switching up on purpose. It's not that Jesus is confused about who's doing what. He's trying to make it clear to us who's doing what.
Hallelujah.
Right? So then we get here and drop down another 10 verses. I mean not 10 verses, but we're going to drop down to the 15 and 26, the next chapter. And he says this, but when the Comforter is come, now we just saw he said the Father was going to send, whom I will send unto you from the Father. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, he got it all wrapped up here. Right? He got it all wrapped up. And again, on purpose. So we can see, because if you try to untangle this, you're going to miss something. Right? Because he put it together so that, you know, I think it was Dr. Evans, me and Pastor Dillon was listening to it at one time, and he started talking about, you know, the Father, how he operate in, as Father, Son, and Spirit, but he compared him to a donut. Wasn't it a donut? And he said, now you got the donut. What's the donut consist of? You got the dough. You got the circle, and you got the hole, right? Now, if you try to take any one of those away, you don't got no donut, right? So I'm not talking about, you know, jelly-filled pastries. I'm talking about a donut. Okay, now, once you consume it, where's the donut? Yeah, huh? Once you consume that dough, where's it at? It's in you. And if you receive him, where's he at?
In you. Hallelujah.
Now, he's more than a donut, y'all.
That's right.
But I want us to understand this thing he said. Now we go to the 16th chapter, verses 5 through 7. And he said, but now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, whither goest thou? Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Because before he said that statement, he began to tell them, once he leaves, the things that they were going to go through. They're going to be kicked out of the sanctuary, out of the tabernacle. I mean, they was going to go through all kinds of stuff. Their hearts are heavy because you just laid all this on us, and now you're talking about you going away. So they so busy thinking about themselves, they didn't say, well, where you going? You know, but look what he said in verse number 7, and then I'm going to be done. I'm going to stop messing with y'all. Amen. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And this is where he lays it out. It is expedient for me. I mean, it's expedient for who? You. See, it's not for my good that I need to go. It's for your good that I need to go. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. One operation at a time in focus. Right? And this is, you know, let me stop right there. But he said, oh my goodness. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. In other words, Jesus says, I got to dip. I got to get out of here so I can come back in the person of the Holy Spirit. See, we use that word person, but in the operation of the Holy Spirit, so I can come back and I can not just be with you, I can be in you, amen, being your strength, your help, empowering you to live a righteous life, leading you, teaching you, guiding you, helping you, strengthening you along the way. But I can't do it in this flesh, so I got to come back in the Holy Spirit and I can be with each and every one of you from now on. Ain't got to go no more. I'm coming to stay with you. I'm coming to help you, to direct you, to build you. But now you got to embrace me. Accept me. Oh, my goodness. If y'all don't understand how, you know, how powerful it is, amen, when we embrace the Holy Spirit. You know, of all these three, God the Creator, yes, he did that. Jesus, the Savior, we sure enough needed that. But God, the Holy Ghost, if I can say it like this, that is the most personal relationship that you can ever have with God, amen, in the person of the Holy Spirit, because he's on board. He's talking to you. He's walking with you. He's building you, and he's strengthening you. He's trying all he can to keep you if you'll listen. Because he's right on board with you. See, so we got to understand, as the progression takes place, what's he doing? He came down from Creator, amen, to Savior. You know, a Savior got a little closer because he walked with him and he talked with him. Amen. But then once the Savior had to go to the cross and that flesh had to die, amen, now he came back in the most personal way he could possibly come, amen, to dwell inside of you and me, amen, to give us the power, amen, and to show up and then let us know that we're there. That's the God that we have on board. You know, even when it talked about Jesus, it said the fullness of the Godhead was in him bodily. The fullness, in other words, if the fullness were there, there wasn't none left, no way else. Right. Amen. And I think about all that power, all that ability, all that authority, all that sovereignty, and he still went to the cross. Yeah. 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 You know, and I think, you know, like I say, we just went through the resurrection Sunday and all that, but the statement that Jesus made when he was on the cross, I want y'all to get this. I want you to get this. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who was talking? That flesh. Because at that point is when the Spirit of God left that body. and that body knew. I mean, that body had never experienced a breath without the fullness of God on board. That relationship that he had as he walked, even as a child, amen, when he stood at 12 years old in the temple and confounded the scribes. That power, but when it left him, he said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" And you know why the spirit had to leave that body? Because as long as all that power was in that body, it couldn't die. It couldn't give up the ghost. But once it left, now it became just as completely vulnerable as you and I. See, so and when he said he's coming back in the person or the power, in the operation, in the function, in the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to abide in you, and you, and you, and me. Do you think he's lacking any power? You know, I think again about, you know, as he told his disciples at the end of the book of Matthew, and he said, "Go ye." Huh? But before he said those words, he said, "All power is given unto me." And he made it very specific. He said, "In heaven and in earth, all power is given unto me." And he paused and he said, "Go ye therefore." See, in other words, he's telling you, go because I have all power. You can go because I'm going to be with you. And you got access to the same power that I made available to each and every one that believes me and receives this Holy Spirit. Amen. So he's more than just a dove. He's more than just a flame of fire. But he's the operation of God operating in you and me, but yet and still, this is our problem. You want to know what it is? We still got our own will. And the one thing the Holy Spirit will not override. That's why I said our will is a dangerous thing. And notice I didn't say he cannot, because he got all power. But the one thing he will not override is your will and mine. Because he wants us to voluntarily, lovingly, with understanding, surrender ourselves unto him and the power he makes available to us. And now we can reject it. But it's not a wise thing. We can choose to do our own thing. And he will allow you to do it. Because he does not want us to be robots. He does not want to force us to do anything. But he says, "I set before you," in the Old Testament, he said, "I set before you good and evil. Choose. You choose this day whom you're going to serve. The gods of this world." Let me stop. But I want us to understand.
Come on, Pastor, preach it.
We are as God's people without excuse. Without excuse, and there is no other remedy for the problem of operating in this flesh other than yielding ourselves completely to the Holy Spirit. Now, I got one last verse I'm going to give you, and then I'm going to be done. Because I'm just showing you how God moves and how God can do things. He has an order, but watch this verse, and then I'm going to break it down to you a little bit. In Luke 1:35, said an angel answered, you know, because, you know, the angel came and he spoke to Mary. And he told her that she was going to be with child. And she's like, how can these things be? I know not a man. She was a virgin. She said, I ain't never been with no man. How can this take place? And it said, and the angels answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost. Now, this is the Holy Ghost operating on a special occasion before Jesus came into the world. In other words, this was God operating in a special occasion before he came in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Holy Ghost shall come unto thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. In other words, ain't no one higher than God. Right? So God's going to come and see you. He said, therefore, also, now watch these words, that holy thing, he called it a thing, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. In this verse we see all three operations spoken of as he's breaking it down to her. God gonna show up in the person of the Holy Ghost and you gonna have a thing. Why he called it a thing? Because ain't never been nothing like it. All right. Ain't never been nothing like it, and there never will be nothing like it ever again. It's a thing because there wasn't no man involved. Uh-huh. It's a thing because God created man and woman, and they came together, and they begin to fulfill and replenish the earth. But it's a thing because it was 100% man on Mary's side and 100% God on his side. So we see there ain't never been a God-man walking the earth. That's the only, and it, there wouldn't, so he said that holy thing because it had to be holy. Miraculous. And it's time that we understand who he is. And embrace him. Embrace him with all that we have. Because he told him, amen, in Matthew, he said, after he told him to go and preach and make disciples of all men of every nation, he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, this is God. And he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Amen? So when I receive him, and oh God, I know I received him, and then I choose to go and do what I want to do, he said he ain't leaving. You leave him, but he's still right there. You turn your back on him, he's still right there. You go and dip and dab in your sin and all the things that you want to do, you taking him with you. Oh, my goodness. And he's still right there. And how many of us, I'm not looking at nobody, but how many of us, even when we're in the middle of our stuff, we know and we hear the Holy Spirit saying, no, stop, don't do it, turn around. But yet, our will overrides his voice. Our will overrides his spirit. And we still do what we want to do. And he loves us so much that he's still there. With that still small voice saying, if you sin, you have an advocate. That he will still forgive you. As long as you got breath in your body, as long as the blood is still running warm in your veins, he's loving on you. And he's saying, just turn it to me. Just do it my way. Don't miss out on my promise. Don't miss out on the greatness that I have for you, not just in this world, but in that to come. Don't miss out because you dumbed it down to something that this physical life can give you when I'm trying to give you a spiritual, supernatural, celestial life, amen, that nothing else can compare with, but you allow this stuff to... My. See, I don't know about anybody else, but they can come and take everything I got. It can afflict this body with anything else, but you know what? I will not compromise my relationship with him. I will not sell out for anything. They can come and say, we're going to give you $20 million if you would just denounce him one time. Ain't enough. There's no amount worth. I'll go on welfare before I take that. I'll be homeless before I take that. We got to make up in our minds. We got to choose and determine, amen. And see, we ain't through talking about the Holy Spirit yet. I just want you to start understanding how he showed up. And then we're going to begin to get into what he wants to do. Where he wants to abide. We got to get to that place that we embrace him. Let's stand up on our feet. He is God. My. Let me say it. He is God in you. In you. See, sometimes because we've heard third person, we dumb him down. But no, he is God in you. Trying to help you. Trying to lead you and guide you and keep you, cover you, to save you. And all you got to do is say, yes, Lord. All you got to do is surrender. And Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he showed us how to do it. He said, Lord, if it be possible, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass. Because he knew he was about to go through something. And sometimes we're in that place. We know if I do God's will, it's going to get hard. If I do God's will, I'm going to have to go through something. If I do God's will, I'm going to have to shake some stuff off and shake some stuff loose. If I do God's will, I got to turn my life around. And he said, if it be possible, Lord, don't make me have to do that part. But he said, if it be possible, but this is where his victory was. He said, not my will. That's their will. He said, not my will, but thine will be done. Break me, God. Help me to bear my cross. Help me to go to that cross. Help me to do your will. And when he said those words, the scripture said the angels came and ministered unto him. See, so when you choose to say yes to the difficulty that God wants you to go through, to be holy, to be righteous, to be in his will, he's going to send help to minister to you through the process. He's not trying to kill you. He's trying to save you. See, Jesus had to go through it. He had to die. I say he had to die, but he rose again. Some of us are afraid to die to this world, afraid to die to the stuff that we're holding on to, afraid to die to those things that are separating us from God. But he said, if you would just die to that, I will raise you up. I will raise you up. And see, can't no one make you do it. Can't no one make you do it. Jesus said, no man takes my life. but I lay it down. Huh? You got to choose. You got to choose to lay it down. You got to choose to give it up. And when you do, he said, when he exalts you, can't nobody pull you down. I said, when he comes alongside, huh? It ain't like man lifting you up and then they snatch the rug out from under you. No, Say, God's telling you, I got you. Just tell somebody next to you, he got you. If you surrender. As long as you don't surrender, you got you. And tell me how that's working for you. Huh? That's not eternal. Huh? That's not eternal. That's not going to get you nowhere but to the grave. Let me stop. God loves us so much. He loves us so much that he's done all this and more for us. You haven't even begun to see. Woo. I'm trying to stop, but y'all. But he said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You see, you're running after something you see. Something you can hold and touch. But he said, you can't even imagine. And all your big thinking, you can't even imagine what I got for you. But I reveal it to you. You know how he's going to reveal it to us? In the next verse, he said, by the Spirit. But you can't see it if you ain't in the Spirit. You can't get it. So I open the altar. Amen. As I settle myself down. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. He's calling your name. This is your time. Said he's calling your name. Don't wait too long. Don't wait too long. Don't wait too late. Tomorrow's not promised to me or you. Say it's not promised. Oh no. Every day, every breath, every heartbeat is a gift from God. We don't deserve nothing but a devil's hell. But he went to the cross that we might have it all. All that he's made available. All that he's provided. In this life and in the worlds to come. Hallelujah. Stop worrying about who's looking at you. Stop worrying about what it's going to take or how it's going to work out. Just say, yes, Lord. You first. You above all. Help me, Lord. Keep me, Lord. Correct me, Lord. Save me from me, God. Because I am my own destruction. I am my own worst enemy. I'm trying to serve the wrong thing. I'm trying to serve this life. I'm trying to serve the flesh. When God... If I would just serve you, if I would just yield to you, if I would just surrender to you, God, my whole life would be changed. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come before you. We come before you as broken vessels, God. Broken vessels, hallelujah. Lord, show us our unrighteousness. Lord, show us, hallelujah, our struggle. Show us, Lord, our shortcomings. Show us, God, hallelujah, God, that, oh, hallelujah, how much you have in store for us, Lord, if we just surrender ourselves to you. If we just yield ourselves to you, God, because it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you that made me. It's you that created us. It's you, God, that gives us life, health, and breath. God, it's you that allows us to rise up every morning. God, let us not use your gift for our good, but for your good, God, for your kingdom, for your ways. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone in this sound of my voice. Father, I thank you for those that have come to this altar, God. As unto you, God. Not it's not about me. It's you, God. Hallelujah. It's you. It's your word. It's your spirit that is drawing. It's you, your word and your spirit that's breaking. It's you and your spirit that's healing. Hallelujah. And we ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, to go into those places, God. Continue to break up fallow ground. Continue, hallelujah, to expose the works of the adversary. Continue, God, hallelujah, to set the captives free in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your word go in and cut where it needs to cut. Let it cut, Lord, but let it bring healing, Lord, as we yield to the operation of the Holy Spirit. We thank you right now. Lord, and I just bless those that have come. Lord, I bless them in the name of Jesus. As they yield and surrender themselves unto you. Lord, as they recognize that you are our only hope. And God, hope you are, God, because you put it in our hearts. You put it in our spirit, God. You've drawn us unto yourself. Lord, not because of our goodness. Hallelujah. Not because of anything that we have done, Lord, but it's all because of what you have done, God, for us, Lord. And we ask you in the name of Jesus to let your will be done. Order their steps, God. Order their steps, Lord. You said the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by you. Help us to pay attention to your direction. Help us to move as you say move. Help us to speak as you say speak. Lord, help us to turn when you say turn. Lord, that we may draw closer in every action. We may draw closer in every effort, Lord, to draw nearer unto you as you lift us up, God. Lift us up out of the dark places. Lift us up, Lord, out of the trouble, God. Be with us, God, when we go through the struggles. As you said in your words, you would, for you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. So I pray your blessings right now in the name of Jesus over each one of us, God. Lord, that we would give ear to your spirit. Lord, we would pay attention to what it is that you're saying, whether it's coming from the radio, hallelujah, whether it's coming from the man or woman of God in my face, if it's coming from our brother and sister in Christ, or just simply and especially your Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. Let us pay attention to that still small voice. You said it's not in the wind, it's not in the earthquake, it's not in the rain, but it's the still small voice that says, come, come, come unto me. Come unto me. Father, we lift our hands up to you right now. A sign of surrender. A sign of yieldedness, God. I have nothing, 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 nothing worthy to give you. Nothing other than my heart, my soul, all that's within me, God. And we surrender to you right now in the name of Jesus. We surrender to your spirit. We surrender to your word. We surrender, God, to your will being done in our lives. We thank you for it right now. Now meet us where we are, God. But don't leave us there. Don't leave us there, God. Take us higher. Draw us closer. Set us free. Set us free from this world. Set us free from this flesh. Set us free, hallelujah, from the troubles of our mind. Set us free, Father, hallelujah, that we may be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, because you are worthy, hallelujah. You are worthy. You are worthy, and we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for even taking the time to consider us, God. We thank you. We thank you right now. We thank you right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God.
The word says, "Who he whom the Son has set free